Good morning, brothers and sisters. I greet you in the name, the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus. It's a great privilege for me to be here. First time to do some preaching with you and for you. And I wish you to open the Bible in the book of Genesis, chapter 21. Genesis, chapter 21. And there we read about the birth of Isaac. And where, when he was born, where the Lord gave the command to Abram to send away Ishmael. And in that sense, to cleanse or purify the covenant that the Lord had with Abram, because the covenant with Abram had a specific direction and a specific plan. And I think you understand that. But just let us see how glad they were. When Isaac was born, you remember that his mother was actually laughing, and so they called him when he was born that it's laughing, but they were now laughing in joy, because it was wonderful that the one that was promised was born, the one that would carry the seed of the Christ. So they were actually now not laughing in jest, they were really laughing now in joy. So just read it with me, I'm not going to preach from that, but just read it for a start. Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abram in his old age at the very time God had promised him. And Abram gave the name Isaac to the son Sarah that she bore him. And when the son Isaac was 8 days old, Abram circumcised him as God commanded him. So he believed in that promise, that covenant promise. And Abram was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has brought me laughter. And everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. Meaning enjoy about what happened. And she added, who would have said to Abram that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. So some people will laugh. It's a joke, isn't it? Make jokes of the old lady having a child. But she says most of them will laugh because there's going to be something coming from the son. That will be the Christ that will come one day, born from Abram, Isaac, Jacob, Israel, Judah, and the line goes on, you know. So then in the next chapter you read where the Lord is sending Ishmael that was born from the surrogate mother. He sends him away and he blesses him too. And you know that history. So then we start reading from chapter 21, verse 22. As Ishmael was now away, and Abram was in this, he's still a newcomer in Canaan. And at that time, we read verse 22, at that time Abimelech and Pichol, that's his general, the commander of his forces, said to Abram, God is with you in everything you do. Now swear to me here before God that you will not deal falsely with me. And check it out, very good, yeah. All my children, all my descendants, my grandchildren, and thereafter. Show to me and the country where you now reside as a foreigner the same kindness as that I have shown to you. And Abram said, I swear it. Then Abram complained to Abimelech about the well of water that Abimelech's servants had seized. But Abimelech said, I don't know who has done this. You did not tell me, and I heard about it only today. So Abram brought sheep and cattle and gave them to Abimelech, and the two men made a treaty. And Abram set apart 7 ewe lambs from the flock, and Abimelech asked Abram, what is the meaning of these 7 ewe lambs that you have set apart by themselves? And he replied, accept these 7 lambs from my hand as a witness that I dug the well. So he's actually paying for his own well now. So that place was called Beersheba because the two men swore an oath there. After the treaty had been made at Beersheba, Abimelech and Pichol, the commander of his forces, returned to the land of the Philistines, and Abram planted a tamarisk tree at Beersheba. And there he called on the name of the Lord, the eternal or everlasting God. And Abram stayed in the land of the Philistines for a long time. Now the verse that I'm going to focus on is verse 33. Abram planted a tamarisk tree in Beersheba. A tamarisk tree. And the context is here, this treaty with Abimelech and his army general. A man, brothers and sisters, a man is planting a tree in the desert. And it's specifically mentioned for a reason here in the Bible. In the desert, it's a tough tree. A tamarisk tree can grow by itself in the desert. A tamarisk tree is special in this sense that it takes a very, very long time to grow to its full size. And if I talk about a very long time, really a long time. Now Abram is here in Beersheba, that's what it's called after Abimelech came to him. He's in the desert and he is now having this treaty with Abimelech and Abram. Actually, if they didn't do that, Abram came from somewhere else into Canaan. He was a foreigner now. He was alien to the area. And he had a huge crowd of people. I can remind you that he could go in war with Kedor Laomer and save Lot, his nephew. And he had 300 plus slaves with weapons going into war. So yeah, if you have 300 slave men that could fight, his whole camp would perhaps be like 1,000 people. All the women and children. So he came into this desert as a foreigner, and the people are looking at him and looking at him, and Abimelech came to him with his general. He was out on war talk. Remember now, Abram is carrying the seed, and Isaac was born. This is war talk. This is an attack from hell itself. This is the dragon attacking the woman. Nothing else. Abimelech wants war or peace. But then he says, and it's very, very interesting how he approaches Abram. Abram, the foreigner. He says to him, I can see the Lord is on your side. That's absolutely wonderful to see. And you have to mention this. You can make a sermon only on this. I can see. I mean, this is a pagan. This is a heathen. And he can from a distance see this foreigner. He says, you can read it there. In verse 22, God is with you in everything you do. So Abimelech came to him and said to him, if the Lord is on your side, I want you to be on my side. I want you to share your blessing with me. If Abram didn't listen, there would be war. And surely Abram would be annihilated, isn't it? For these strong armies of the Philistines. It's strange, brothers and sisters, in the world of our time, that the pagans, the heathens, the unbelievers, often see the power of the Lord better than we do. They see it in your life. They acknowledge the work of God in our lives. And they actually bring glory to God for that. But we often fall in doubt and uncertainty. Even though the Lord is working powerfully in our lives or in our college, often we see that people are talking about us and what the Lord is doing for us. This is what's happening here. Abimelech coming to say, I can see what the Lord is doing in your life. We have to remember this, that we are put in this world to be a light to the world. We have to show something. We have to show the glory of the Lord and the work of the Lord. That's the purpose. I mean, it's the purpose of the covenant that the Lord made with Abram. He said, in you I will bless the nations. That was the purpose of the covenant. And you know, I mean, you theological students, the lion goes through Golgotha, isn't it? The blessing is Golgotha, is the Christ. But for the nations, to the glory of His name. And it starts already here. Even when Abram came from a distance into this country, they could see the work of the Lord. My question is, if we are, if Mukanyu, if we in our ministry, in our personal lives, if we can recognize the work of God in our own lives and be bold with it to the world. Not be ashamed. Peter says we are letters of Christ read by the pagans, by the heathens. They read us. Do not forget it. Even if you're suffering, having trouble in your ministries, in your class, in your college, still the Lord is with us, and they look at this and it's to the glory of God. We have to be a blessing. That's the purpose of the covenant that the Lord has made with us, that He made us His children, that we should be as a blessing to the nations. So my question is really, I know you're into the mission and into the service and the ministry of the Lord, but you have to look into your heart. Do you really have an open heart for those that are still not into the covenant? And you want to show them and you want to share with them the blessing of this covenant? Or is it all only about yourself? I believe that many people today, they only believe in Jesus for their own salvation. And it's all about yourself. Now this passage is going to show you, brothers and sisters, Abram didn't do it that way. And when he planted that tree, he didn't do it for himself. He understood the covenant and the purpose and the long-term plan of the Lord. And that is why he planted this tree. He became the father of Isaac. Ishmael is now gone. The covenant line is now purified again. And the long-term plan of God would be without the Arabs now. That's Ishmael. Without them. Ishmael is gone. Isaac. And as Abimelech and Pichol, when he left, and they had now peace, Abram was thinking, what happened here? I mean, the Lord made a covenant with me in Genesis 15. You know, the animals that were cut and divided into two, and the blood covenant that he made with Abram. And he gave him promises, and he said to him, I'm going to bring you to this land back after 400 years. You can read it there. And then in Genesis 17 again, and he gave him circumcision as a sign that God gives absolutely assurance of His promises. And now, Abimelech said to him something. I can see that promise is true in your life. And the moment that Abimelech left, what did Abimelech say? He said, I want to share in the blessing you will have, but I want to share it for me and my kids and their kids. That's what he's saying. Swear to me here before the Lord, you will not deal falsely with me or my children or their children, their descendants. Now, what was the word of the covenant? He said, the Lord said, I'll bless you and your descendants and their descendants. There's an everlasting covenant to be your God. You see, Abimelech saw that. And the Lord gave him this special visit of an heathen coming to tell him, to show him that the Lord is true to His covenant, to His word. And the moment that Abram understood this, The whole purpose of the visit of this king, he planted tamarisk. A tamarisk tree. Now what is so special on this tree? You know, if you go to the desert or the wilderness called the Arava, there in Araba or Arava in Israel, it's the desert where Israel was moving through the Arava, the wilderness, you found different trees there. But special one tree you find there is the acacia tree, like a thorn bush today. The Ark of the Covenant was made of the acacia tree. But that grows all by itself in the desert. It's spreading itself, it grows there, it's very tough tree. Some other trees also. But you also find the tamarisk tree. But what is so special about it is, the tamarisk tree is not planting itself. The tamarisk tree is only planted by human beings. So where you would find a tamarisk in the desert, you know somebody lived there sometime, and he planted a tree. But what is more, it's particularly interesting of this tree, is the tamarisk tree is a very slow grower. It takes decades, literally decades, to become a full-grown tree and you can sit in its shade. It takes decades. It takes a long time. It's a slow grower. And it, in the beginning, it needs the hand of a human being, a man, to help it start growing as it is planted. So, anybody who plants a tamarisk tree is not planting that tree for his own purpose, for his own sake, for his own benefit. Abram planted in Beersheba a tamarisk tree in faith. He was assured by the Lord, by Abimelech coming, the Lord is blessing you. And he was now assured of the covenant Lord, who said in Genesis 15, yes, it'll take 400 years in Egypt, but I'll come back and I'll chase away all the Canaanites and I'll do all that, but you'll come back to this place. And when you come back, you'll find this tree there. And you can sit in its shade. Now, not Abram, because he would be dead by that stage, but he says, the covenant is for you and the generations thereafter, isn't it? So Abram is not planting the tree for himself. Abram is planting the tree in faith for the generations that will return and one day sit in the shade of the tamarisk tree. Planting a tree in faith. So brothers and sisters, my question is, what we do in Mukanyu, what we do in our studies, what we do in our ministry, what we do in our lives, about whom is this? For whom are you doing this? Why do you believe? Why do you at all do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe because then you can go to heaven and have a nice place in heaven and have your cocktail and sit there in peace and for everlasting you have peace on earth, isn't it? That's what many people believe. If you ask them, why do you believe in Jesus? Because he paid for my sin. That's all. Nothing more. It's all about me and myself and I. That's very selfish. But that was not the purpose of faith. That's not the purpose why the Lord was involved with mankind after the fall in sin at all. That's not why he created us. It's not about us. Why do you baptize? I had this sermon when I was baptizing my 9th grandchild. I've got 9 grandchildren. My 9th grandchild. So beautiful to preach on this with baptism. Why do I baptize a child? What is the purpose? I mean, baptism is a sign for this child when he grows up to know that the Lord will be true to him, isn't it? That's why you're baptized. And it gives you hope and certainty. But why did the Lord have this covenant with my little grandchild? His name is Daniel. Why does he have a covenant with him? Is it only about Daniel? So he can be happy and grow up fine, no problems. The Lord is on your side. Or is he to grow up as the tamarisk tree? One day to be of some use somewhere in the kingdom. So it's not, baptism is not about Daniel. So about whom is it going? What is it all about? It's not about the children or the descendants of Abimelech or Abram. It's about what they're going to mean for the purposes of God who made the covenant. So I'll come back to that. If we have a look at Christ, why did Christ come into the world? I mean, I think he is the tamarisk. And he was planted long before time in the great council of God. He was planted one day to give the shadow of grace for us. That was the decision God made, an eternal decision, so that we can sit today, many decades later, in the tamarisk shadow of Jesus Christ, and the mercies from Golgotha, and the salvation and redemption and atonement He gave us. You see, God works with a long-term plan. And it's not, when Jesus comes, it's not about Himself. He says, I came to serve. I didn't come to be served. He came to glorify His Father. He says, now time, Father, I want to glorify Your name. And He wants to be a blessing. That tamarisk Jesus was planted to be a blessing to the nations, to the glory of God. It's the same line. He is our tamarisk. Planted in eternity. He decided to save through His Son, His children, so we can sit like Psalm 91 says, in the shadow, the tree, the shadow of the Almighty. We can sit in the shadow, the peace of the Almighty. So brothers and sisters, if you believe today, really believe in the Lord God and His covenant promises, you are called to plant trees that will grow and be beneficial to the kingdom of God even when you're dead tomorrow. If you're not there anymore, what we should do should be working on the long-term plan of God. And you can be a small piece of it, part of it, or you can be a huge part of it. You can be a principal, or you can be a student. I don't know which is bigger or smaller. Jesus says you have to become a servant to be great, isn't it? So what we're doing when we plant trees, it says, it's not about us. Abram was the father. Abram, Isaac, Jacob, Israel. Abram was the father of the Israelites. And you can go through the Old Testament where the Lord took His people and punished them for whatever reason. It was because they didn't glorify Him to the nations, isn't it? Before the nations. We're studying now Isaiah in our Bible study, in our Bible school. We're doing Isaiah at our church. If you look at why the Lord is dealing with him and so harsh with him is because he said, I called you to be a light to the nations. It's not enough that my servant people, my servant prophet, my servant Jesus himself, is not enough that he comes to save Israel. It's not about Israel. It's not about Abram and his descendants. It's also about Abimelech and his descendants. It's about a light to the nations, to the end of the world. It's the same passage that comes back in Acts when the Lord sent us to the ends of the world with the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's why if you think of what we're doing in the ministry, you have to work on small things. You have to work on a marriage, on marriages, and teach people to have children. Why? Not because it's nice to have children, but it's because it's part of the long-term plan of God. He gathers his people through birth of children born in the covenant, growing his church. It's not me and my wife and my kiddies. It's part of a big plan. We have to work on good households, good marriages. We have to work on houses where the Lord is taught to the children so that they know how to stay alive in this desert world. They're only a tamarisk. Where do they find the water? How do they survive in this wilderness of the world? So we are to plant trees in our children, in our youth, in our students, if we apply this to Mukanyu. And we have to do it in this South Africa we are in. The newspaper this morning says that the rand dropped below 14 rand something. It's a disaster, I tell you, what's happening. It's terrible. What is going on in South Africa? Where our country's got problems, big problems. It's actually this great sickness coming into our country, isn't it? But we have to plant trees in South Africa. We are called here to plant a tamarisk tree. We have to think about the future. We have to think about this country and the people of this country, and that they know that their only hope lies within the real tamarisk, Jesus Christ, and the gospel. And if we don't sit in his shadow, the sun will burn the flesh from our bodies. And we will die in the fire of everlasting hell. That's what we have to teach them. It's much more than only me believing, me passing my studies. We have to be the church of God's long-term plan. And his plan, and that you understand when you will page to the book of Revelation chapter 22. He says there's a river, and next to that river stands a tree. And I would think it's almost like a tamarisk tree. No, it doesn't say it there. It's the tree of life. And what does it say? That tree, the leaves of that tree, is there for the healing, not only of me and myself and I, but of the nations, to the glory of God. So my question, brothers and sisters, and Brian, to all your personnel and people, Mukanyu, what are we doing here? Why are we doing what we're doing? Just to be successful? To make a name? To have a website? Just to pass? To say, I've got a degree? Is it about you? Is it about me? It's not about you at all. You're a little small Abram piece in the covenant Lord's big long-term plan of salvation, which is there for his own glory. And my wish is that you'll think about this
What you're doing here in Mukanyu, your personal life and your ministries, is just planting those trees in faith. The Lord will let it grow on His time. I want to close with a little story. It's a personal witness. Yesterday, I sent a message to a lady in Ireland who was married on the 2nd of August. She was a child in grade 3 when her parents came to faith through my ministry in Pinetown when I was there. That's 25 years ago. She's now 28. No, she's a bit old. She's 30 years old now. And she wrote me back. She said, thanks for the congratulations I gave her and wara. And she says, thank you for what you've done for me. What have I done for you? Nothing. But she is now believing in the Lord. She's 30 years old. She's in Ireland. She's married to a Christian, serving the Lord there. I actually want to read to you what she says, but it's too much. She says, thank you that you got involved with my parents in Pinetown when they came to the Lord. I've actually forgotten about her. If it wasn't for Facebook and I saw a picture, I wouldn't even send her a message. I didn't even know or remember her name. But yesterday was a wonderful day in my life. But the Lord gave me some feedback. I didn't expect it all. And I glorify His name for it. But what happened? They came in on my path, on my road. And I could bring them the gospel. They came to the Lord. And she says to me, I thank the Lord that you were involved with my parents those days. Today I serve the Lord with my husband. I think it's true what happened. Yeah, it's also true. I planted the tamarisk tree those days. And she's sitting in the shadow. And we can share that together. And we can praise the Lord for what He's done. And I believe you will touch people's lives, but you will not see the fruit. Perhaps you'll be dead by the time the tamarisk you planted will be to the benefit of the Lord and the benefit of other people and the nations. But carry on. Take courage. Plant trees. Work for the Lord. Do not be served, but serve the Lord and let His name be glorified. May the Lord bless you and may the Lord keep you. Amen. Heavenly Father, we praise Your name because what You're doing is not on the short term. Yes, in the short term You bless us too. We thank You for those blessings every day in our lives. But teach us, Lord, as we heard this morning, it's not about us. It's about what we serve and do and put in the investment in Your kingdom and to the glory of Your name. And the people that we teach and we ministry to, it's not about them. It's actually all about Your glory. But You will be glorified when the nations will return, when the nations come to the light, and when they enter into the new Jerusalem, You will be glorified. Help us to focus on You and not on ourselves. Make us humble as we bless Your name. And we praise You for Your word, and we praise You for everything that we've received, while we do not deserve it. And we thank You that we could meet You this morning, and we pray that You will bless every student and the personnel, Mukanyu, and all our plans. We put it before Your throne, and we ask Your blessing upon it. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Our Lord and our Savior. Amen.